That is no country for old men. The young in one another's arms, birds in the trees. Those dying generations, at their song, the salmon falls, the mackerel crowded seas, fish, flesh, or fowl, commend all summer long whatever is begotten, born, and dies, caught in that sensual music, all neglect, monuments of an aging intellect. An aged man is but a paltry thing, a tattered coat upon a stick, unless soul clap its hands and sing, and louder sing for every tatter in its mortal dress. Nor is there singing school, but studying monuments of its own magnificence, and therefore I have sailed the seas and come to the holy city of Byzantium. O sages standing in God's holy fire, as in the gold mosaic of a wall, come from the holy fire, pern in a gyre, and be the singing masters of my soul. Consume my heart away, sick with desire, and fastened to a dying animal. It knows not what it is, and gather me into the artifice of eternity. Once out of nature, I shall never take my bodily form from any natural thing, but such a form as a Grecian goldsmiths make of hammered gold and gold enameling to keep a drowsy emperor awake, or set upon a golden bough to sing to lords and ladies of Byzantium of what is past, or passing, or to come. You're listening to CICK 93.9 Smithers Community Radio, broadcasting from Cassia House territory of the Gitumden Clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation, Smithers, British Columbia. My name is Gavin Smith, and you are listening to The Underword, a show that explores the relationship between poetry and music. And today's episode is part two of our episodes on William Butler Yeats. And this one is about politics, war, and disillusionment. Real feel-good episode. And I was just reading to you Yeats' poem, Sailing to Byzantium. I'm going to start this episode with a bit of a reverse experience from what I normally have when I'm preparing from this show. So normally, I will know of certain songs that have lines from poetry in them. I'm kind of thinking about the episode from that basis. When I was preparing for this episode, I had the exact reverse experience in that I was reading a Yeats poem that I'd never read before, and I was like, I know that song. And it was a song of one of probably my most listened bands of the past decade, the Barr Brothers, a band with a number of Canadian members based out of Montreal. And I had no idea that all of the lyrics from the song England, which I'm going to play for you, were actually lines from a Yeats poem. So I'm going to give you the experience that I had at first by playing the song, and then we'll get in to the poetry behind it. So this is the song England by the Barr Brothers. Enjoy.
Thank you.
There you have it. That was England by the Barr Brothers from their album Sleeping Operator. It's a song that I knew quite well, but it was only when reading through Yeats' selected poetry for this episode that I discovered that most of the lyrics from that song that you just heard are actually lines from Yeats' poem Easter 1916. And to understand the poem and some of what's to come in this episode, quick history recap of Irish history is needed, not least of all for me, who had to look up a lot of this in prep for this episode. So, of course, Yeats was born in Ireland, in Sandymount, in 1865. Irish history and mythology and politics was an important set of factors in his life. So Easter 1916 is a reference to what's known as the Easter Rebellion. On Easter Monday 1916, Irish nationalists launched an armed revolt against British rule with the goal of establishing an independent Irish state. This was, of course, while Britain was fighting World War I. And the British response was swift. They brought in thousands of troops to quell the rebellion. They imposed martial law and they executed most of the leaders of the rebellion in May 1916, so shortly after it was launched. And this was really the first significant armed conflict of the Irish revolutionary period in the 20th century. And the violent British reaction to that rebellion played a role in shifting public opinion in Ireland and increasing momentum behind the movement for Irish independence, which we'll get to later in the episode. But as a person active in Irish politics, many of those people executed in the Easter Rebellion were people that Yeats himself knew personally. And so the poem Easter 1916 references a number of those people individually. I'm not going to read the whole poem just in the interests of time, but I will read the final stanza, which is what the Barr Brothers adapt into the lyrics of the song England that you just heard. Too long a sacrifice can make a stone of the heart. Oh, when may it suffice? That is heaven's part. Our part to murmur name upon name as a mother names her child when sleep at last has come on limbs that had run wild. What is it but nightfall? No, no, not night but death. Was it needless death after all? For England may keep the faith for all that is done and said. We know their dream, enough to know they dreamed and are dead. And what if excess of love bewildered them till they died? I write it out in verse, McDonough and McBride and Connolly and Pierce, now and in time to be, wherever green is worn, are changed, changed utterly. A terrible beauty is born. That was the final stanza of Easter 1916, written by Yeats in September 1916 of the same year. And all of the lyrics from the Barr Brothers song England are lines drawn from that stanza. I'm going to keep following that thread of history for a moment because it takes us into our next poem and our next song. So after Easter 1916 and the uprising, an Irish nationalist government was elected in 1918, and it declared Ireland's independence in early 1919. This led to the three-year War of Irish Independence fought with the British between 1919 and 1921. And the peace treaty resulting from the war created the Irish Free State. However, it also provided for the division of Ireland into Northern Ireland, populated mainly by Protestants sympathetic to the British, from the Irish Free State, which later was the Republic of Ireland, which was predominantly Catholic. And disagreements about this division immediately plunged Ireland into a civil war, which formally lasted from 1922 to 1923, but of course helped sow the seeds of ongoing conflict for many decades to come after that. During that period, Yeats wrote Meditations in a Time of Civil War, and I'm going to read a poem from that publication, that book, entitled The Stare's Nest by My Window. And for context, because I didn't know this and I had to look it up, a stare is an old-timey word for starling. So could think of it as A Starling's Nest by My Window, but the poem's title is A Stare's Nest by My Window. The bees build in the crevices of loosening masonry, and there the mother bird brings grubs and flies. My wall is loosening. Honeybees come build in the empty house of the stair. We are closed in, and the key is turned on our uncertainty. Somewhere a man is killed or a house burned. Yet no clear fact to be discerned. come build in the empty house of the stair, a barricade of stone or of wood, some 14 days of civil war. Last night they trundled down the road, that dead young soldier in his blood, come build in the empty house of the stair. We had fed the heart on fantasies, the heart's grown brutal from the fair. More substance in our enmities than in our love. O honeybees, come build in the empty house of the stair. It's a beautiful and a sad poem. I'm going to take us next to a song, because the next poem immediately after what I just read to you in the same book, Meditations in a Time of Civil War, is entitled, I See Phantoms of Hatred and of the Heart's Fullness and of the Coming Emptiness. And as the title gives away, it's a pretty dense poem. Yet incredibly, this year, Halifax band Nap Eyes put the entire 1.5 pages of text of that poem to song. So we're going to go to that next with Nap Eyes. And this is their recent song, I See Phantoms of Hatred and of the Heart's Fullness and of the Coming Emptiness.
The heart's fullness and of the coming emptiness. I climb to the tower top and lean upon broken stone. A mist that is like bone snow is sweeping over all valley rivers and elms under the light of a moon that seems unlike itself, that seems unchangeable. Glittering sword out of the east, a puff of wind, and those white glimmering fragments of the mist sweep by. Frenzies bewilder, reveries perturb the mind, monstrous familiar images swim to the mind's eye. Vengeance upon the murderers, the cry goes up. Vengeance for Jacques Molay in cloud, pale rags or in lace. The rage-driven, rage-tormented, and rage-hungry troop. Trooper belaboring trooper, biting at armor at face. Plunges towards nothing, arms and fingers spreading wide. For the embrace of nothing, and I, my wits astray. Because of all that senseless tumult, all but cried for vengeance on the murderers of Jacques Molay. Their legs long, delicate and slender, aquamarine their eyes. Magical unicorns bear ladies on their backs. The ladies close their musing eyes, no prophecy. Remembered out of Babylonian almanacs, have closed the ladies' eyes, their minds are but a pool, where even longing drowns under its own excess. Nothing but stillness can remain when hearts are full of their own sweetness, bodies of their loveliness. The cloud pale unicorns, the eyes of aquamarine, the quivering half-closed eyelids, the rags of cloud or of lace, or eyes that rage has brightened, arms it has made lean, give place to an indifferent multitude, give place to brazen hawks, nor self-delighting reverie, nor hate of what's to come, nor pity for what's gone, nothing but grip of claw. And the eyes' complacency, the innumerable clanging wings that have put out the moon. I turn away and shut the door, and on the stair wonder how many times I could have proved my worth in something that all others understand or share. But oh, ambitious heart, had such a proof drawn forth, a company of friends, a conscience set at ease, it had but made us pine the more. The abstract joy, the half-read wisdom of demonic images. Suffice the aging man as once the growing boy.
Civilization is hooped together, brought under a rule, under the semblance of peace by manifold illusion. But man's life is thought, and he, despite his terror, cannot cease ravening through century after century, ravening, raging, and uprooting that he may come into the desolation of reality. Egypt and Greece, goodbye, and goodbye Rome, hermits upon Meru or Everest, caverned in night under the drifted snow, or where that snow and winter's dreadful blast beat down upon their naked bodies, know that day brings round the night, that before dawn his glory and his monuments are gone. That was Meru, poem by Yeats. And before that, you were listening to Nap Eyes. And we're going to move now to the Waterboys, which is a band formed by Scottish musician Mike Scott in the early 1980s. And they've had rotated band members from Scotland, Ireland, Wales, and England over the years. And all of the songs from their 10th studio album, which was released in 2011, are based upon different Yeats works. And that includes the song of Wandering Angus, which we went over twice in the last episode. But I'm going to go with the final song on the album, The Fairy's Last Song, which is adapted from the first work Yeats ever published, which is a play entitled The Island of Statues. So this is The Waterboys with The Fairy's Last Song. Enjoy. that civilization may not sink, its great battle lost. Quiet the dog, tether the pony to a distant post. Our master Caesar is in the tent, where the maps are spread, his eyes fixed upon nothing, a hand under his head. Like a long-legged fly upon the stream, his mind moves upon silence. That the topless towers be burnt, and men recall that face. Move most gently, if move you must, in this lonely place. She thinks, part woman, three parts a child, that nobody looks. Her feet practice a tinker shuffle picked up on a street. Like a long-legged fly upon the stream, her mind moves upon silence. That girls at puberty may find the first atom in their thought, shut the door of the Pope's chapel, keep those children out. There on the scaffolding reclines Michelangelo. With no more sound than the mice make, his hand moves to and fro. Like a long-legged fly upon the stream, his mind moves upon silence. That was Long-Legged Fly by Yeats. And before that, you were listening to The Fairy's Last Song by the Waterboys from their album An Appointment with Mr. Yeats, all of which draws on Yeats' works. And we're going to go out with one more. This is another song from the same Barr Brothers album that started the episode, Sleeping Operator. I just couldn't help myself. It's my favorite track from the album. It's called Even the Darkness Has Arms. And somebody was clearly reading a lot of Yeats when they wrote that album, because this song also draws from a Yeats poem. The poem is called Are You Content? And the line from that poem that appears in the Barr Brothers song is, I call on those that call me son, grandson, or great-grandson, on uncles, aunts, great-uncles, or great-aunts, to judge what I have done. So see if you can catch that line from Yeats in the song. We're going to sign off now. So thanks to our sponsor, Phoenix Self-Care Studio. You've been listening to The Underword with Gavin Smith. It's been nice to spend some time with you. This is from their album, Sleeping Operator, the Barr Brothers, with Even the Darkness Has Arms.
When the tightrope walker slipped into the moon glow, saying all my children follow me, maybe it's time to go. You can be chrome when you're wise, you can be wise when you're blue. Maybe if I had, then I have for you. Bribing the jury to keep me in jail, singing tea for the tiller man. And although I lie fantastically, I swore an oath in my history. It's a miracle I can see. You can be wrong when you're right, even when you're right on cue. And if I die tonight, then I die for you. Calling on those that call me son, great-grandson or grandson, great-uncles, aunts and relatives, to judge what I have done. Gonna make it right by you, even if it's all I do. And if it's all I do, then I do for you.
tides. Maybe the water went dry. Keeping an eye on you, with an eye on you, you could drown me too. The people will raise a whole lot of hell above the water and the windmill. And although I stab chaotically, swore an oath in my history, it's a miracle I can see. Even the darkness has arms, but they ain't got you. Baby, I have it, and I have you too. And a light in the way that I pass the night through. Maybe so uncertain, well, what can I do?